Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus said, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming when whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sometimes I am asked the question, how will we prepare for the coming persecution? How will we prepare if our country falls into totalitarianism? And the Christian gospel and the church, which is currently under siege by Satan and the enemies of Jesus, how will we endure? How will we prepare? How will we be ready? The answer may surprise you. By doing now the simple and ordinary things that have always characterized the life of the church, which are the source of our strength and comfort and joy, although the world considers the gospel and preaching and the great hymns of the faith to be foolishness. In the gospel for this seventh Sunday of Easter, as we celebrate our Lord's ascension to the Father's right hand and his promise to send the Holy Spirit and to come again in glory, we would do well to remember what Jesus did. For 3 short years before his persecution, before his passion, before his martyrdom, he didn't have something called the congregation at prayer, but he led the congregation in prayer. Every day, he went off to a solitary place and there he prayed. And every night, he did the same thing. And he prayed the Psalter, and he was fortified by the Holy Spirit himself, the third person of the Holy Trinity, who anointed him at his baptism. And that was his strength. And then he would go into the synagogues of the Jews in village after village, and he would open up the scriptures of the Torah or the prophets, and he would preach the good news of God's sacrificial love for humanity. And the congregations to whom he preached, and the downtrodden, the imprisoned, the offscouring of the culture of his day, the sick, the afflicted, were comforted and they were strengthened. You see, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was not the beginning of the Spirit's ministry. Not at all. Wherever the gospel is preached, since the time the Spirit hovered over the surface of the waters and gave life to all living things and to us who are made in the image of God, the Holy Spirit has been at work, the Lord and giver of life. And the Spirit has been at work through the word of the prophets. For our purposes, the words of the apostles and the prophets still today in preaching and in teaching. And Jesus showed that. Look at the ordinary things that he did. Prayer, preaching, meditation upon the sacred scriptures. And when they went into Holy Week, observe in the passion of our Lord Jesus how important not only that liturgy was of the Passover to prepare him and the disciples for the onslaught of persecution in his passion on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, but notice how they sang hymns. When they went out to the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, they sang a hymn. Those are the ordinary things. Here, let's re-ask the question. How are we going to prepare for the onslaught of persecution, for the possibility of Christians being imprisoned or pastors, as happened in the former Soviet Union, being executed and put to death? We're going to sing hymns. And we're going to pray the liturgy of the church. And we're going to make sure that our children know the catechism by heart. And we're going to fortify Peace Lutheran Academy so that at the center of the academy is the gospel. Christ crucified, the fountain and source of hope and comfort and life. For if we do not know Jesus who laid down his life for us, then all knowledge is but a chasing after the wind and vanity. We are to continue in the things that Christ gave us to do by his own word and by his own example. Jesus told them on Maundy Thursday night when he preached the words of our gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter, I didn't tell you these things at the beginning. You know, the time will come they will put you out of the synagogues. When those who persecute you will think they are rendering God service, I didn't tell you these things at the beginning. He wasn't being dishonest. But they were not ready to receive those things. They were not ready to receive those things until over the course of 3 years. And then particularly as they struggled with the failures of their own lives, they came to know the power and the comfort of the gospel, of Christ's forgiveness and love for them, like Peter, who was so confident and so full of optimism about the future. I'll suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from you. What made Peter an apostle of the gospel and faithful unto death was not his resolve, his strength, his careful planning for the future persecution. What made him a faithful apostle was the Lord's word of forgiveness. Peter, I love you. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Tend my sheep. The same thing is true for us. It is the gospel of God's love and forgiveness that enables us to endure. It is why the Holy Spirit is referred to in our text for today with this lovely Greek word parakletos, which is sometimes translated helper, sometimes counselor, sometimes comforter. Which is it? It's all three. He helps us because he comforts us in times of distress. He is the counselor because by the word of the gospel, he counsels us not in the ways of the flesh, which are always the ways of self-centeredness and pride and arrogance and getting a pound of flesh, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, but rather he counsels us in the ways of the gospel of Christ, who prayed for his enemies from the cross, who shouldered the burdens of all. And then he is called Comforter, because without the comfort of the gospel, none of us can endure. That's what gave the Apostle Peter his strength. It came from entirely outside of himself, as it does for you and for me. Think about those great hymns of the faith that you have come to know and love. You learn them through the course of the church's regular liturgy and through the things that you suffered in your own life, perhaps the death of a loved one or the wonderful joy of having someone in your family who did not know Christ come to know Christ and embrace him so that you could celebrate with them the wonders of God's grace, who called all of you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When you sing those hymns again from a confirmation or from a wedding service, they abide in your life to the last days and your last breath. How will we prepare for coming persecution? By doing the ordinary things. By gathering here to receive the Lord's word, the Lord's supper. By daily prayer. By taking up the promises of God's word in the memorization of scripture. Because in these words, we find our Lord Jesus. And the helper, the counselor, the comforter comes to us. And by these words that we receive, the body of Christ bears witness in our suffering to him whose suffering is the fountain and source of our salvation. So that same blessed apostle encourages us this day in his epistle. The end of all things is at hand. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another, without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceedingly great joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. For we always live, every moment of our lives as Christians, by faith in the Son of God who loved us and who gave himself for us. And this makes all the difference. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.